Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky says a Russian glide bomb struck a village in the eastern part of the country as older people were lined up to receive their pensions. At least 21 people were killed and nearly two dozen more injured. Yesterday, U.S. and European officials met at the U.S. Treasury Department to discuss various forms of economic pressure to exert on Russia.
A person familiar with the matter tells AP discussions included new sanctions and tariffs on Russian oil. On Sunday, President Trump said he would talk with Russian President Vladimir Putin soon.
The Russia-Ukraine situation, we're going to get it done. I have confidence we're going to get it done.
But that source tells AP U.S. officials emphasized in the Monday evening meeting President Trump's willingness to take significant actions to end the war and expecting full cooperation from the Europeans. The officials are to meet again Tuesday. Trump's latest deadline for the Kremlin to end its invasion has passed. I'm Ben Thomas.
Nepal's prime minister has resigned following violent protests against a ban on social media platforms and government corruption. The resignation of Khadga Prasad Oli came a day after anti-government protests when police opened fire and killed 19 people. Many of the protesters also set fire to the homes of some of Nepal's top political leaders in opposition to the social media ban that was lifted early Tuesday. Meanwhile, an activist group seeking to deliver aid to Gaza on a flotilla says one of its boats was hit by what it believes was a drone. The Global Samud flotilla says the incident happened while docked in Tunisia. No one aboard was hurt. Tunisian authorities have denied a drone was involved and say they're investigating a fire in a life jacket aboard the boat. In the U.S., an attorney says many of the South Koreans detained in Georgia were in the country to do highly specialized work. About 300 South Koreans were taken into custody at a Hyundai electric vehicle plant last week. This is AP News. The Murdoch family has reached a deal on control of the family's media business.
The agreement ensures no change in direction at Fox News. The deal creates a trust that will be in place until 2050, giving control of Fox Corporation to Lachlan Murdoch, along with his younger sisters, Grace and Chloe. Lachlan's three older siblings will give up any claims to control of Fox and will receive stock currently valued at $3.3 billion. The court fight began when Rupert Murdoch and Lachlan sought to change terms of an established trust that gave the mogul's four oldest children equal say in control of Rupert's media holdings. Prudence, Elizabeth, and James are known not to be as conservative as their father. The previous arrangement led to worries that they could force Lachlan out and change Fox's direction after Rupert's death. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Blasting sanctuary laws in Chicago and the state of Illinois, Homeland Security's announced what it's calling Operation Midway Blitz, targeting people without legal permission to live in the U.S. who have criminal records. On social media, posting mugshots of 11 foreign-born men it said should be deported. But the operation appears to be separate from the law enforcement crackdown President Trump's been promising.
I don't know why Chicago isn't calling us saying, please give us help. When you have over just a short period of time, 50 murders and hundreds of people shot.
A handful of immigration arrests over the weekend brought out Chicago activists.
So I don't know what Bible they're reading, but the Bible I read says that you will love the stranger.
Rabbi Lizzie Hademan.
All of us were strangers once, and there is no them and us. There's only us.
I'm Ben Thomas.
House Oversight Committee Democrats have released a sexually suggestive letter to Jeffrey Epstein, purportedly signed by Donald Trump. It was part of a 2003 album compiled for the alleged sex trafficker's birthday. The letter Democrats released looks exactly as described in a Wall Street Journal report that the president dismissed as defamatory and sued the paper for $10 billion. It includes the words "Happy Birthday" and "May every day be another wonderful secret." For weeks, the president's denied writing it.
Somebody could have written a letter and used my name, but that's happened a lot.
And says he did not create the drawing of a curvaceous woman surrounding the letter.
I'm not a drawing person.
I don't do drawings of women.
Democrats say they got a copy of the album as part of documents from Epstein's estate. The Pentagon's top leaders are visiting Puerto Rico as the U.S. ramps up military operations against Caribbean drug cartels. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Joint Chiefs Chairman Dan Kane arrived on the island more than a week after hundreds of Marines deployed there for a training exercise. A person familiar with the planning says the U.S. will soon send 10 F-35 fighters to the territory for operations against cartels. Dozens of people protested at a National Guard base yesterday against a boosted American military presence in Puerto Rico, warning against using it as a staging ground for potential operations. The island's governor, though, says Puerto Rico represents a U.S. border in the region. President Trump is hailing a West Point alumni group for canceling an awards ceremony to honor actor Tom Hanks. Hanks was scheduled to receive an award this month given annually to an outstanding citizen who, among other things, exemplifies devotions to the military academy's ideals.
Some private in 101st.
West Point's Alumni Association board chair had cited Hanks's positive portrayals of American troops and his caring for veterans, but news reports say the association scrapped the ceremony. Hanks is a longtime Democrat donor who has bashed the president, who in turn calls him destructive and woke.
You look at West Point, how proud they are of their heritage. They did something this week which I thought was appropriate.
The association's president tells the Washington Post calling off the ceremony lets West Point focus on its main mission, preparing future Army officers. The Supreme Court is clearing the way for federal agents to conduct sweeping immigration operations in Los Angeles. A lower court found the administration's enforcement tactics violated the Constitution, describing roving patrols conducting indiscriminate arrests. Her restraining order barred agents from stopping people solely based on race, language, job, or location. But in a 6-3 decision, the High Court has lifted that order, handing the Trump administration another win. The ruling comes as ICE agents boost enforcement here in Washington, where the president's also deployed the National Guard, suggesting another big city will be next.
We're waiting for a call from Chicago. We'll fix Chicago.
Chief Justice John Roberts is letting President Trump, at least for now, remove a Federal Trade Commission member. It's the latest in a string of high-profile firings the High Court has allowed at federal agencies, effectively abandoning its own precedent that protected some agencies from arbitrary presidential action. Lower courts had blocked the president's bid to remove FTC member Rebecca Slaughter after she sued, since the law says commissioners can only be removed for cause. The Justice Department argues the president's free to remove any executive branch agency members without cause. Roberts has now halted the lower court decisions after the Trump administration appealed. He wants Slaughter's lawyers to respond by next week. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Jury selection has started in the trial of the man accused of attempting to assassinate President Trump in Florida. Ryan Ruth was charged with attempting to assassinate Donald Trump last year at a golf course in South Florida. A district judge approved Ruth's request to represent himself, but insisted on standby counsel. Jury selection started with 30 batches of 60 jurors arriving at a federal courtroom in Fort Pierce. Ruth wanted to ask potential jurors about their views on the war in Gaza and the talk of the U.S. acquiring Greenland. But the judge said those questions were irrelevant. Ruth pleaded not guilty to charges of attempting to assassinate a major presidential candidate, assaulting a federal officer, and several firearm violations. An appeals court has upheld E. Jean Carroll's $83 million defamation judgment against President Trump. That's for the president's repeated social media attacks against the longtime advice columnist after she accused him of sexual assault in the 1990s. Trump had argued that he should not have to pay the sum as a result of a Supreme Court decision expanding his presidential immunity. That award followed a separate trial where Trump was found liable for sexually abusing Carroll and ordered to pay $5 million. That order was upheld by an appeals court last December.
December.
A private funeral service was held for the Italian designer Giorgio Armani in a church near his birthplace. Before the private funeral, more than 15,000 mourners paid their respects to Armani during 2 days of public viewing at his Milan theater over the weekend. That's where the mayor of Milan, Giuseppe Sala, spoke to reporters. Sala says Milan is full of signs of Armani. It will be impossible to forget him. I think the main legacy he left us, beyond the tangible signs and what we see around, is his absolute belief that working is a way to a professional as well as a personal achievement. Armani's funeral was kept strictly private, with only close friends and family attending the service. He was one of the most recognizable names and faces in the global fashion industry. He was 91. A drug dealer whose sentence was commuted by President Trump has been found guilty of violating his terms of release. Convicted New York drug dealer Jonathan Braun had been charged with several crimes. He'd been accused of menacing a hospital nurse and a fellow synagogue, as well as groping his family's nanny and evading bridge tolls. A federal judge ruled that prosecutors proved the violations had occurred by a preponderance of evidence during a series of hearings in Brooklyn Federal Court. In 2019, Braun was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison after pleading guilty to drug-related charges. He served roughly a year behind bars before Trump commuted his sentence in the final days of his term in January 2021. The Long Island resident faces up to 5 years in prison when he's sentenced on October 9th. I'm Haya Pinchwani.
Authorities have identified a girl found dead in a New Hampshire state park nearly 25 years ago. Based on new DNA and genealogical research, the case began in 1985 when two bodies were found in barrels at Bear Brook State Park. Two more were found in 2000. By 2019, all of the victims have been identified except for one. Recent DNA analysis has identified that victim as Rhea Rasmussen. Her father, Terry Rasmussen, was the killer. He died in prison in 2010. Authorities are now urging the public to come forward with any information about the girl's mother, Pepper Reed, who has not been seen since the 1970s in California. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Damian Troisi, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks edged higher on Wall Street Monday. The S&P 500 rose 0.2% and is sitting just below its record set last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.3%. The NASDAQ Composite rose 0.5% to a record. AppLovin and Robinhood Markets helped lead the market after learning they will join the S&P 500 index later this month. Trading across Wall Street was relatively quiet ahead of updates coming later this week on the job market and inflation. The results could dictate by how much or even whether the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates at its next meeting in a week. Damian Troisi, New York.
The U.S. housing market continues to slump. Sales of previously occupied U.S. homes are running about 1.3% below where they were last year, when they sank to the lowest level in nearly 30 years. More homes are for sale, prices are down or rising much more slowly, and listings are staying unsold longer, especially in the South and West. While the national median home listing price did rise slightly in July, some metro areas saw price declines of 4% or more, including Austin, Miami, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Denver. Active listings increased for the 21st month in a row, climbing nearly 25% from last year, according to Realtor.com. But affordability remains a challenge, with only 28% of homes priced within reach of median income buyers. Sellers are also competing with new construction. The result is that after years of skyrocketing values, home sellers are being forced to lower their prices, offer incentives, or give up, with some homes going into the rental market. I'm Jennifer King.
Howard Stern is back on his SiriusXM radio show after trolling his listeners. Stern did not open the show to start the week.
This is Andy Cohen Live. I just want all of Howard's fans to know you will have a home on Andy 100.
Stern fans were not happy.
What the f*** is this?
Oh, good morning.
No ending, no goodbye. This is it?
It turns out Howard Stern trolled his listeners into thinking he had left his long-running show.
Everything you've been reading in the paper about me or about Robin is completely false.
His contract runs out at the end of the year.
They've approached me. They've sat down with me like they normally do. And they're fantastic. We've been talking. And by the way, I'm absolutely flattered that anybody even cares whether I resign. So, I mean, in a way, it was confirmation that I matter.
Howard Stern has not signed a new contract. I'm Ed Donahue.
The new work by the mysterious artist depicts a protester lying on the ground holding a blood-splattered placard, while the judge in a traditional wig and black gown beats him with a gavel Banksy posted a photo of the work on Monday on Instagram, his usual method of claiming a work as authentic. It's captioned Royal Courts of Justice London. While the artwork does not refer to a particular cause or incident, activists see it as a reference to the UK government's ban on the group Palestine Action. On Saturday, almost 900 people were arrested at a London protest challenging the ban. Banksy began his career spray painting buildings in Bristol, England, and has become one of the world's best known artists. I'm Charles de Lethesma.
Welcome to the 2020.
LL Cool J hosted the MTV Video Music Awards Sunday night, with Doja Cat kicking off an energetic show at the USB Arena. Lady Gaga, the night's top nominee, won Artist of the Year. She talked about the responsibilities of being an artist and thanked her fiancé before hitting the stage at Madison Square Garden.
Being an artist is an attempt to connect the souls of people all over the world.
Ariana Grande won Video of the Year and Best Pop. Grande presented Mariah Carey with the Video Vanguard Award, describing her as the queen of vocalists and the soundtrack of our lives. The show featured tributes to the late Ozzy Osbourne, and Busta Rhymes received the Rock the Bells Visionary Award.
The blessings don't stop, so we don't stop, baby!
Ricky Martin was celebrated with the first ever Latin Icon Award, 25 years after his VMA breakout.
I want to dedicate this award to my kids.
Audio courtesy CBS and MTV. I'm Jennifer King.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. J.J. McCarthy tossed two touchdowns and rushed for another in his NFL regular season debut as the Vikings spoiled Ben Johnson's Bears coaching debut with a 27-24 win on Monday Night Football.
It's been a long journey, and, you know, 609 days, I think I saw it, was my last, you know, competitive football game, which was the national championship.
49ers, two-time All-Pro tight end George Kittle will miss at least a few weeks with a hamstring injury, and Pro Bowl QB Brock Purdy's status is uncertain with shoulder and toe injuries. The Giants are sticking with Russell Wilson as their starting QB. MLB Phillies star shortstop Trey Turner has been sidelined with a right hamstring injury but could return for the postseason. And MLS has suspended Inter Miami forward Luis Suarez for three league matches after he was seen spitting at someone and grabbing a player by the neck. The sister of Minnesota Timberwolves player Naz Reid was fatally shot at a New Jersey apartment complex by her boyfriend. 29-year-old Shaquille Green has been charged with murder. Ocean County prosecutors say Jackson police went to the Paragon apartment complex around 11 a.m. Saturday after receiving reports of shots fired. They soon found 28-year-old Tariah Reid unresponsive. Officers also saw Green running by a nearby road. He was soon taken into custody without incident. Organizers of the Salt Lake City 2034 Winter Games have announced a fundraising effort that they say is the largest philanthropic campaign supporting a host city in Olympic and Paralympic history. The initiative has raised more than $200 million. It covers roughly a tenth of the projected $2.84 billion operating budget. The International Olympic Committee awarded Salt Lake City the 2034 Winter Olympics and Paralympics in July 2024, giving Utah its second games after hosting in 2002. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
The announcement is the first warning of a full evacuation of the city in the current round of fighting. Defense Minister Israel Katz says Israel had demolished 30 high-rise buildings overnight in Gaza, which it accuses Hamas of using for military infrastructure. On Monday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel had destroyed at least 50 towers of terror, which he said are used by Hamas. Associated Press reporters saw more cars and trucks than previous days passing from northern to southern Gaza, laden with supplies and people, but at this point, no widespread evacuation. I'm Charles de Lethesma.
Legislators toppled France's government in a confidence vote, setting the stage for a new crisis for Europe's second largest economy. France's president, Emmanuel Macron, must now search for a fourth prime minister in 12 months. Although Macron had 2 weeks to prepare for the government's collapse after François Bayrou announced in August that he'd seek a confidence vote on his unpopular budget plans, there is no clear front-runner as to a successor. The root of the latest government collapse was Macron's stunning decision decision to dissolve the National Assembly in June 2024, triggering a legislative election that the French leader had hoped would strengthen the hand of his pro-European centrist alliance. But that gamble backfired, producing a splintered legislature with no dominant political bloc in power for the first time in France's modern republic. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A train collision with a bus in Mexico has killed at least 8 people and injured dozens. The state of Mexico's civil defense agency said that authorities were still working at the site of the accident in an industrial area with large warehouses and factories. They didn't have immediate details on how the accident occurred, but one video on social media platforms showed the bus in heavy traffic slowly moving across the train tracks when the fast-moving train suddenly appeared out of frame, ramming the bus at its midpoint. There were no visible crossing gates or other signals. Just prior to the crash, cars could be seen crossing the tracks as traffic advanced. Authorities say the accident with the double-deck bus took place northwest of Mexico City. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Ukraine has shown dozens of foreign diplomats damage to government offices in Kyiv after Russia's biggest aerial attack of the war. Yesterday's assault by more than 800 drones in the heart of the Ukrainian capital targeted not just apartments, but the main government building. Ukraine's prime minister posted a video from inside before showing some 60 foreign diplomats burnt out offices with charred debris. She says Vladimir Putin is openly mocking peace efforts. While President Vladimir Zelensky says Putin is testing the world, U.S.-led peace efforts appear to be going nowhere, and another Trump deadline for Russia to change course has passed. The president keeps blaming both sides, but said yesterday he plans to speak with Putin soon.
We're going to get it done. I have confidence we're going to get it done.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Israel struck and destroyed another multi-floor building in Gaza City after warning residents to evacuate, part of an offensive aimed at taking over the largest Palestinian city. The military says it was targeting Hamas observation posts and bombs placed around the 12-story office building. Over the past few days, Israel has destroyed multiple high-rise buildings in Gaza City, accusing Hamas of putting surveillance infrastructure in them. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump says he's giving his last warning to Hamas regarding a possible ceasefire, as Arab officials describe a new US proposal for the immediate release of all remaining hostages in exchange for 3,000 Palestinians and a temporary ceasefire. Officials say the attackers, who were Palestinian, opened fire on people at a bus stop during the morning rush hour in Jerusalem, killing 6 people and wounding around 12 more. An Israeli soldier and civilians who were at the scene shot and killed the 2 attackers, say police, who later arrested a 3rd person in connection with the shooting. Footage of the attack showed dozens of people fleeing from the bus stop at a busy intersection. The windshield of a bus was riddled with bullet holes and belongings were scattered across the street. The war in Gaza has sparked a surge of violence in both the Israeli-occupied West Bank and in Israel. Spain's government has been an outspoken critic of Israel's war in Gaza, which began after Hamas militants killed around 1,200 people, mostly civilians, on October 7, 2023. Pointing to the numbers of Palestinians killed, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez says, "This is not self-defense, it's not even an attack. It's the extermination of a defenseless people. It's breaking all the rules of humanitarian law." Sanchez said his government would formalize an arms embargo on Israel, prohibiting the buying and selling of weapons, ammunition, and military equipment to the country. The announcement's part of 9 steps being taken to put further pressure on Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government. The shooting took place at a major intersection at the northern entrance to Jerusalem, on a road that leads to Jewish settlements located in East Jerusalem. As well as the number killed, paramedics say at least 15 other people were injured and 6 are in a serious condition after the Monday morning attack, while police announced 2 attackers were neutralized soon after the shooting began. The war in Gaza has sparked a surge of violence in both the Israeli-occupied West Bank and Israel. This one's the country's deadliest shooting attack in nearly a year. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.